You're listening to Do You Hear That? A podcast about birds, hosted by Noah Kalina and Paul Amara. We're bird enthusiasts, not bird experts. Have you ever wanted to put googly eyes on everything you own? Because recently I ordered a pack of 200 googly eyes, thinking it would just be like hysterical to put it on.
Paul. Do you hear that?
What is that?
There it is. Paul, this is a treat for us.
A treat?
Paul, that is the indigo bunting.
The indigo bunting. Is it blue?
It sure is. This is a blue bird, a very blue bird.
How did I know?
By the way, the scientific name for this bird is Passerina cyanea.
Cyanea. Okay, so blue. That's like cyan.
Cyan blue? Kinda. And do you know what passerina means?
I don't know.
Well, so I looked it up. Passerine, adjective in ornithology, relating to or denoting birds of a large order distinguished by feet that are adapted for perching, including all songbirds.
Wow. So this is a songbird.
Well, great question. I'm not seeing it say like it's specifically a songbird.
Oh.
What allaboutbirds.org does say is the all-blue male indigo bunting sings with cheerful gusto.
Wow.
And looks like a scrap of sky with wings.
Wow, that's beautiful. A scrap of sky.
I know. Listen to it.
Stunning. You know, it has like a pairing, like the way it's singing, it's almost like doing it in twos. Like you hear two in a row of the same sort of
totally
tone, yeah. Which is unique. I haven't picked that out in other birds we've talked about.
So the indigo bunting is one of these birds I've seen in my Merlin Bird ID app as something that is around, right? Like it's something that I'm likely to see
right
in the warmer months around my property. Now, All About Birds actually says this is a fairly common bird.
Mm.
And it's pretty widespread. It's the entire eastern part of the United States during its breeding period. It even dips down, goes into a little bit of California, lots of Texas. And then it seems to go into Central America and then also the islands, Cuba, Puerto Rico, all those kinds of places in the non-breeding sort of winter time.
This is an adventurous bird.
Yeah, it gets around. And you would think you would notice this bird.
Right. It's so brightly blue.
Yeah, and the very first time I saw this bird, it was just sort of out of the corner of my eye, and I just saw it flying away from me. And this was a couple of years ago. And I was like, whoa, what was that? That was amazing. And I knew it wasn't the eastern bluebird.
Mm.
I knew it was something different and had a different vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was the indigo bunting. And I was like, oh my God, it must be so rare to see such a thing.
Right, but it's not that rare.
Well, so as it turns out, and as I've become more attuned to the sounds of this bird, and that's almost kind of what this podcast is about, hearing it, right? That's the thing about birding, right? You can see things, you go out there. But really, in order to see it, you kind of hear it first.
Right.
Once I figured out what the indigo bunting sounds like, and there it is again.
Mm-hmm.
There's one literally living right behind my studio, and I hear it now every single day.
Wow.
So it's really not that rare, but when I do go out there, I'm like, oh, there it is. It's singing. I'm going to go try to get a photo of it.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot find it. Cannot see it.
It's too small. It's too fast.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, the pines, and especially, you know, birding and photographing birds is the best in May because the trees aren't fully leafed out yet.
Right.
But now that we're in summer, the birds can be up in those trees and you just cannot see them. You can hear them as we're hearing the indigo bunting right now. Again, just gorgeous, gorgeous sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll go out there. And also it's funny because the recording we're hearing is actually a recording I made of that indigo bunting.
Wait,
but
we're not listening to a recording. This is happening in real life.
Like, oh yeah. I mean, well, you know, I mean, we're recording this show right now, so I'm physically
right. You have it.
Holding my microphone up.
Right. You're
it's actually just picking it up. It's so close.
You're actually holding an indigo bunting right now in your hand.
I wish, yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah, anyway, it's as it turns out, it's around. It's just hard to see. And I think one of the reasons for this is because it is that blue, that amazing, gorgeous blue, and everyone should look up a photo of this bird. If you have never heard of this bird, look it up and you'll be like, a bird like that even exists in New York or basically everywhere in the United States except California?
It's giving like big canary energy, like
definitely
parrot almost, like just the vibrancy. Like, I think that we should describe this blue. It is all blue. I mean, okay, so I looked up some facts about indigo and I actually found a box of crayons, and the indigo crayon is really dark. It's a really dark blue. Mm. But I think that the blue-green crayon is a better representation of what the indigo bunting looks like. I know it's called the indigo bunting, but it really is more of a brighter blue, like almost slightly green blue. Like indigo is a really dark blue, but this bird is brighter.
I think it depends. I think it also depends because this year I got an amazing photograph of this bird. It was eating the apple blossoms off my apple trees.
Wow.
There were three or four of them doing it simultaneously.
Wow.
It was really an amazing moment for me. Wow. But so I think it just depends on how the light is hitting it. And I think this is a reason why people, you might see a bird, this bird, the indigo bunting, but you might just think it's black because it can be so dark, unless light is really hitting it specifically.
Okay. So maybe these pictures I'm seeing, it's not looking as dark blue.
Well, this photo that All About Birds has as its main photo.
Yeah.
I feel like they might be juicing the color.
Oh, they're juicing.
It looks like a little like hue bump, saturation bump.
Yeah, it's bright. I mean, it's like a lighter blue, but we are talking about the male indigo bunting here when we're talking about the blue one. Right. The female indigo bunting doesn't have a speck of blue on her.
No.
Like, not even a spot of blue.
Totally.
We've talked about this before. The Eastern Towhee that we just talked about, that one, the female looked totally different than the male. But I think that this is controversial because the name of the bird is indigo bunting. It has the color in the name. Why are we just specifying the male here? This feels a little problematic. I don't want to dwell on it, but the female bird is all brown. It's like a cinnamon sort of tan. Hmm. Its wings are a little darker, a little almost like dark brown, maybe a little black. Huge black eyes. And then like a sort of speckly white chest. And the male is literally all blue. And then its wings are sort of, they have like some black stripes on them just at the tips of their wings.
Yeah, totally.
They have the same shape. Both birds look pretty similar.
Yeah, they definitely look related.
Yeah.
And their eyes kind of are the same.
In black and white, these birds would look almost indistinguishable.
Oh, yeah, good point. To speak to your point about naming the birds after the male versus the female, I think it's a marketing decision.
Yeah, I guess because the males always seem to have more of a spectacular color scheme.
Yeah, they tend to, right?
Yeah.
But speaking of these sort of gender roles, as it turns out, the female builds the nest alone, a process that takes up to 8 days early in the season. The male may watch, but does not participate.
It watches. That's so funny.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's funny. It's just like supervising. I feel like that's a very male thing to do.
But also, maybe like versus the humans, it's sort of a role reversal. And
right?
Where the women are the ones who would be colorful and beautiful.
Right.
And the male would do the work.
Right.
But, you know, times have changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
These ideas, these concepts are old school.
Yeah. I've been thinking about something, and something about this bird in particular has made me really focus in on these ideas of birds and their evolution. And every bird we talk about, it's got its thing. It's got its like thing that makes it different than the other birds. Right. Like the oven bird, its nest looks so different than the other ones. This bird, the color is astounding. And also the way this bird navigates is mind-blowing.
Yeah, can you talk about that?
Oh my gosh. The way this bird navigates is using the stars.
Wow.
It flies mostly at night. It's a migratory bird. and it uses the stars, like it can like triangulate using stars. And they've done experiments where in an artificial planetarium scenario, and the presence of a magnetic field that they create artificially that's similar to like the Earth's magnetic field, the birds were not able to orient themselves in a no star environment because they couldn't see like the stars or whatever. So they're proving that like these birds literally use the Earth's magnetic field and then just like the view of the stars in the sky.
Wow.
To help them fly and migrate wherever they're going.
Yeah.
What other bird is doing that? Like, unless maybe that I'm not understanding.
Remember how, the pigeon?
Well, I was going to say the pigeon, but yeah. I don't know if the pigeon, maybe it just has like its own sort of way of doing it, or maybe it is the stars. But when we were reading about it, there was no mention of the stars.
Right. It's just, yeah, and they're not even sure, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So why this is so like mind-blowing to me is because, again, it's proving that like every bird, it's almost like testing a different level of evolution. It's like research and development in nature tested through different birds.
Totally, yeah. Over millions of years.
Exactly. And over different evolutions, like you yeah. see birds that look similar, that maybe they evolved from another bird and
right.
they keep going and going and going and things change. So,
yeah, I have a theory about this and it's total. I know it's wrong, but we all just saw these images of the James Webb telescope just recently, the deep space photographs.
Yeah, stunning.
Just amazing. And it makes your mind just go like, how is this even possible? Infinite.
Yeah.
The idea start billions of years old, like billion light years away.
Yeah.
It's so hard to comprehend. We always wonder, are we alone out yeah. there? I mean, but really, the aliens are here with us right now. They are the birds. They are the fish.
Yeah, they're the birds.
They are the insects. The lives that they live, those things are
yeah.
what we really need to think about. What's out there in the billions of light years away? We'll never know. Unfortunately, I wish we could.
Yeah.
I say just watch the movie Contact with Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do if you want to go there. Isn't that a great film?
I've seen that one.
Maybe I'll watch it again tonight.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
These animals are just filled with wonder and magic.
There's so much mystery that we'll never know because we can't communicate with them.
Yeah.
But I think just studying them and like, you notice these little things like this thing with the stars. How did they do that? Like, how are they like, oh, yeah, like, let's look at the stars and like we'll know. And like, and then the magnetic field. I mean, don't get me started on the magnetic field because that is literally vibes. Like, you know, how people are like, you got good vibes, or like the energy, like it's magnets. Like, that's yeah. literally what's.
I mean, when people say that, they're not talking about anything. This is literal vibes.
I'm going to start saying like your magnetic field is impeccable.
Wow. All right. You could see what let me know how that works for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a hit. What else? One thing about this bird, the color. We've talked about this before in previous blue birds. And I will say the indigo bunting is more blue than the blue jay.
Mm.
Hands down. It's all blue.
You just mean in terms of coverage.
Right. But like other blue birds, the indigo bunting actually lacks blue pigment. So what you're seeing is a reflection of blue light that isn't being absorbed.
I just do not understand this concept.
It doesn't make sense, but it's actually the exact same concept why leaves look green. I don't know if you're hip to this.
No, please tell us.
Green leaves look green to us because they're actually absorbing every color of light except for green, and then they're reflecting that light back.
Mm.
It's hard to wrap your head around, but it's something to do with like how they're made up and everything. But this is what's happening with the feathers and the jewel-like color that comes out of the indigo bunting.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. This kind of reminds me, there was a time when I had this phase in art making where I hated any art that had the color blue in it.
Why?
I just feel like blue is maybe the worst color for art.
Noah.
I think it's a great color, but I think if art doesn't have the color blue in it, it's better.
Whoa.
So think about that for a second.
Do you know the history of blue in art?
Do you know the history of blue in art?
I learned a little bit about it.
Are you going to tell me about like Picasso's blue period or something?
No, and I was going to say that's probably why you hate it, because I feel like so many artists are like, I'm having my blue period. Like, but what's astounding is that they weren't able to get blue pigment into paintings for the longest time. So like if you look at paintings from like the Renaissance era or whatever, it was like really early on, there was no blue in it.
Right.
And then when they started bringing it around, it was representing like royalty or like the Virgin Mary or like these important things.
When art started to get bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you're honest.
I know. I mean, well, it was a personal preference. I'm not saying like no one should use blue in their art.
Sure.
And I have come around and I've embraced blue to a certain extent, but you know, just think about it. One final fact I want to do, because this one could get old, and we do love the how old can this bird live?
Mm.
And according to All About Birds, the oldest recording wild indigo bunting was a male and at least 13 years, 3 months old.
Wow.
So that's a pretty nice life. Got bar mitzvahed and then
was over. Yeah.
Was over.
Wow.
Becomes a man. All right, so let's do it, Paul. There's so much. We barely scratched the surface with the indigo bunting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we got to talk about the star guidance.
Yeah.
And its color. It's a spectacular bird. I know where this is going. I know you want to give this bird a rating. It's a 5 out of 5. There's no question.
It is a 5 out of 5 bird.
Yeah, it has to be.
Like, it's got the looks. It's got the sound.
Yeah, it's got its unique qualities that make it absolutely insanely cool.
It works vibes.
Yeah, it's got the female that looks different, but is a hard worker, you know?
Right.
Everything. This bird is amazing. One of my new favorite birds. We didn't mention that this bird is in the cardinal family.
Yes.
I just thought that was interesting because the cardinal is also very vibrantly colored. And I believe the cardinal is also a 5-star bird.
Oh, definitely.
It runs in the family.
Yeah, definitely.
And the last thing we need to say about this bird is a group of indigo buntings is called a mural.
Wow. I did not know that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amazing. That's just such a great way to end the show.
I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Do you hear that?
Is hosted by Noah Kalina and Paul O'Mara. Edited and engineered by Paul. Music, also by Paul. Noah last photographed an indigo bunting on July 20th, 2022. Follow us on Twitter at TheBestBirdPod and support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/doyouhearthat. Episode art images sourced from the Library of Congress. Ambient bird sounds by Noah Kalina and additional bird sounds from macaulaylibrary.org.